And a good Tuesday morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. And every couple weeks, we get an update from the city of Manhattan as they have their legislative meeting tonight, 7 o'clock. And joining us on the phone, as always, City Manager Ron Fear. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And good morning to you. We have Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy also on the phone. Mayor Reddy, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I know a lot of stuff going on right now. And Mayor, I might start with you. I know a few days ago we heard the news that you decided to suspend your campaign here for the Senate race. And maybe if you wouldn't mind just kind of talking about that decision a little bit and how that relates to everything going on.
Sure. Yeah, I think, when I filed to run for the U.S. Senate, I knew I was going to be mayor this year. And a typical year for mayor is not as, impacted by everything that's going around as is the pandemic right now. Otherwise, I think I would have been able to handle both running for office as well as doing my duties as mayor. But unfortunately, I think the pandemic deserves my attention right now, 100% full focus on it, because of not only the public health piece of it, but because of the economy and the business component to it. Then we have Kansas State University and students coming or not coming, and Fort Riley. So I felt there are so many press conferences by the governor, by the health department, by the Kansas Department of Labor, that were I was completely focused on for the past 2 months. And it just didn't feel right for me to divert my attention to something else, such as my campaign, and give that 100%. So I feel comfortable in my decision. I feel this is where my focus needs to be. We're not done with anywhere close to being done with COVID-19. We don't know if there's going to be a resurgence. I just feel I need to stay focused and help the process and help all the key stakeholders move forward until we see an end in sight. And economically, it's going to be devastating. And we're going to be talking about the budget here. We already started that. And I want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to make sure we have essential services for the public, but also plan for the next 2 or 3 years. And that's going to take a lot of planning, a lot of conversations, and a lot of time. So I'm comfortable with my decision, and I feel I am where I need to be right now.
All right. Well, do you anticipate you'll seek higher office maybe in the future?
Yeah, maybe in the future, and I'm not going to close anything off or take anything off the table. I don't know what the future holds for me right now. I'm very much in the present, and I think that's where I'm going to be for quite a while.
Well, as this whole pandemic continues to go on here, there's a lot of questions, as you mentioned, the budget here, and a lot of unknowns of what that's going to look like. Yush, I know you tuned into the law board meeting yesterday, and they've decided, well, the RCPD has put in their budget here, a COLA increase, a slight one, but I know that could maybe have some impacts on the city's budget as well if that continues. What is your response to the COLA?
Right. I think, with the COLA and step increases, these are constant conversations at the city, RCPD, library. I think it was an interesting discussion, and I'm glad, they're publishing. But again, they're going to have a special meeting is what I got out of that to discuss it even further. And I think it's good that they're going to discuss it more. We all want to give COLA. We all want to give step increases. I was a teacher, and during that time, COLAs and step increases were very important, and I completely get that. But I'm not sure we're over the budget concerns yet. Property taxes probably will be fine for this year that I know of. But at the same time, the pandemic is not over. We're still going to see a lot of shortfalls. I don't know what property taxes are going to look like in December. I don't know what they're going to look like next year or the year after that. I think there's a lot of conversation still to be had. And I also want to make sure we're equitable. If one government agency that's affiliated with the city is getting step increases in COLA, We should be equitable to the other government agencies and also be sensitive to the businesses that had to lay off so many workers. In my opinion, it just seems we need to take a look at the macro level of this whole pandemic and how it's impacting not only the city, but like I said, Kansas State University, Fort Riley, our businesses, public and private sector. So there's lots of discussions to be had. So I'm looking forward to more discussions, I guess, from Law Board.
Yeah. And certainly it's not over yet, though. There's a planned discussion here before June 5th. I'm interested, Mr. Fear, what kind of challenges this poses if indeed they were to pass a COLA? How complicating does that make your job then?
Well, obviously, as the mayor indicated, the whole issue of fairness comes into play. Probably the other, I think, interesting aspect to the Law Board proposal or the PD proposal was to utilize the carryover in order that was accomplished in 2019, which is it's the first time I'm aware of where the carryover has actually entered into the discussion in establishing the budget. Usually the budget is passed and then that's certified to both the city and the county, and then the carryover from the previous year. So the 2019 carryover applies to the 2021 budget, and then that carryover goes to reduce the mill levy that needs to be levied by each of those entities. So in essence, what's kind of happened, even though we're working towards a similar flat budget, use of that carryover in establishing the budget negates it being used for the city. So there would be a bump there, even with a flat budget, for the impact on the city, of course, which is 80% of the operating budget, and then 20% for the county. So there's certainly some concern about that. I've certainly visited with the director about those concerns, and I think we'll probably have opportunities to have further discussion about that as well. Then the other aspect is just, you know, that's the 21 budget. We got to get through the 20 budget first, and we do anticipate substantial shortfalls, although it appears that the second half property tax payments were fairly close. I think they were down just a bit from what they were traditionally. So I think the county treasurer has indicated that maybe usually this by the second half payment, about 95% of the proceeds for property taxes have been paid in to both to the county for distribution, and I think maybe we're in the 92 to 93%. Again, all of that will play out, and some of those so that's better than maybe what we expected might occur. So there's some optimism there. Of course, the police department is totally funded by property taxes by both the city and the county. And if it's short, then the legal expectation is that those entities have to provide those funds regardless. So that's been part of the discussion over the long haul when we've been short on tax revenues before and how we're going to make that up. So, or if the expectation is that the agency is going to make some reductions as well. So that's just some of the discussion that needs to happen. And I know Director Butler is sensitive to those particular issues as well.
Yeah, and what I understood that if for some reason there was not enough money from the property taxes, that it would come from the general fund. Is there enough money in there right now to support that if it became that dire?
So probably not. I mean, the city would have any source that's acceptable to it to make, if it wanted to decide to make that payment whole. And that would be challenging. Obviously, we're anticipating our sales tax revenue to be down substantially and look at cutting the minimum of $4 million and that's maybe as much as $8 million from the existing budget. So we can't make those cuts and expect to make somebody else 100% whole.
All right. Well, some tough decisions that have to be made all around here, city and county levels for the RCPD. I might also, while we have some time here, before we get into the agenda, some non-coronavirus related issues, and that's dealing with construction. I know there's some construction going on. There's also some demolition going on around the city. Noticed yesterday the demolition has begun over on the west side of town on the Plaza West Shopping Center that was damaged heavily by the Labor Day flood in 2018.
It did. So that construction started. We had some decent bids for that. It's an area that's been unsafe and unhealthy, and so we're certainly gave a lot of time for the owner to try and remedy that situation, but obviously it's been a year and a half since that occurred, so it was more than enough time to try to take care of, make that situation safe. So that contractor, I think they got about half done yesterday, so they'll continue to work on that, and hopefully we'll have some decent weather and be able to get most of that taken care of this week.
All right. Well, there's a big construction project continuing on Kimball Avenue. What's the status of that?
So construction is going very well. When we initiated those, we got a little early start. Some of that work, actually, especially on College there along the baseball stadium and soccer stadium and football stadium, as well as at the intersection. So with the lack of activity that happened there this spring, that's really helped us get a good start on it. We've had some decent weather, so the contractor is progressing well. I think the anticipated completion date for substantial completion anyway would be around the end of August. So that's better than what it was before, and hopefully the weather will hold and we'll be able to continue to see that. But as you said, there's a number of construction projects going on around the city. One that isn't ours that has started is to replace the bridges over Wildcat Creek on Fort Riley Boulevard. That's a state project that's going to be in place for a long time. So that's going to slow down. And summertime is typically a time where we have a lot of orange cones up, and that will be the case. We just got them up a little bit earlier because of the lower activity level. We have another major project on North Manhattan. That project from Claflin basically up to AIB will finish the improvements on North Manhattan Avenue, and that project is going well also. So those are the major street projects. We'll have a little bit of street maintenance activity in some other areas. Actually, we have an asphalt project on the agenda tonight, which we can talk about as well. We have some storm sewer projects down in the southern part of the city on 6th Street and Juliet Avenue. There'll be some additional storm sewer work. We've got 12th Street that the commission awarded at the last meeting that will start construction there in Aggieville, 12th Street from Bluemont to Morrow, and a water line in conjunction with that with the new hotel, which if you haven't gone by there lately and looked at them construct the parking garage structure and the facility itself, that's going well. We've got other projects that are going are some sanitary sewer lanes up in the Sunny Slope area, east of campus. We've got some work that's going on at our recreation center. So both of the middle school have expansions going on, as well as the Eisenhower and Anthony recreation centers that are under construction at those locations, as well as the Douglas Center recreation center. So certainly a lot of construction activity going on in the community, and certainly ask folks to please be careful and drive safe when they see those workers and those cones up.
All right. Hey, we have a caller here who's just called in. Let's get to them real quick with a question. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Maybe I missed it, but could you tell me what is going on Hayes and why that's been down to one lane for about 6 months now and why nothing's been done there?
Sure. No, that's a great question. What we've got there, you remember we had the sinkhole there just to the north end of that where that has been blocked off. And so one of the things we discovered with the sinkhole was that there were some damaged manhole accesses. So we're rebuilding those manhole accesses, and we're waiting on some materials. We're also waiting. We've been shifting our personnel. We're doing that in-house, and we've been rotating our crews to avoid that. So this week we actually started with full force crews, but they're working in differing shifts. So, but it was a matter of having enough workforce to be able to properly handle that. We have that now, so we should be able to get. You should start to see some progress on those on that particular project, and I know that's caused some access issues and folks to slow down there. But with the three-lane facility, we did have it, but that's the reason for the delay.
All right. Thank you for the question. We're going to take a break and come back with more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.